This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah, we'll give him a hearty welcome then, hurrah, hurrah. Oh, the men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home, and we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home. Get ready for the jubilee, hurrah, hurrah. Give the hero three times three, hurrah, hurrah. Oh, the laurel wreath is ready now to place upon his loyal brow, and we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home. And we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home.
Okay, a little bit of normally after a war and they come marching home, there's great glee. But good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. This is the end of the Afghanistan war. First day of no war in Afghanistan since about September the 12th, 2001, 20 years ago. We're going to be talking, We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Dan Eberhardt. He is the chief executive officer of Canary LLC Oil Services, and we're going to talk about the other thing that's been going on recently, the impact of Hurricane Ida on the oil industry, on the markets, on the cost of gasoline that you're going to pay at the pump for the next few weeks. So stay tuned for that. And as we said, the war in Afghanistan is officially over, but the pain, the horror, the humiliation linger on. We're going to examine this war all during the course of our show. We're also going to get some thoughts on it from the proprietor of Mainstream America's Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci. So stay tuned for that as well. And at the end of our show, our ultimate top 10 is a good one. The top 10 happiest states in this country. The happiest states in America. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, we are sponsored, as always, by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's located just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Call boys, men and boys for your appointment first, 727-733-3773. Always a delight to follow a great show. Good morning, Clearwater. Hope you were listening today with the three of them. Tony was with them. But they are on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the great Tantalk Radio Network. Let them start off your day, Monday through Friday. All right. So after 20 years, and I remember 9/11 vividly, like we all do. We're old enough, of course. And the next day, and Bush going on television, and our decision to go into Afghanistan. I always thought, aren't most of these people from Saudi Arabia that planned this? And why did we start a war in a country rather than just go individually and get the people that planned this and carried it out? Rather than start an entire war in a country and send, you know, what we did over there. It was always at the back of my mind that I never quite understood that. But we did it, and we've been paying for it, I guess, ever since. We have left that country with our tail between our legs. I couldn't possibly have thought, and I think most of you feel the same way, that we could have looked less, what is it, American than we did in this war. Vietnam was bad enough. This one was even worse. The prestige and the whatever you want to call it. We always say, you know, we're the world's greatest fighting machine. Really? We were in World War II. But ever since then, you can say it all you want, I guess, because we have a few extra nuclear missiles than anybody else. Is that why we're the world's greatest fighting machine? Certainly, if you go by the intelligence of our military, I don't think we're the world's greatest fighting machine, especially recently. We used to think that we had the greatest generals and the greatest fighters, etc. Maybe this is sacrilegious to say, we're no better than anybody else in this world. We might have a few more nuclear weapons. I don't think we fight any harder than any other country would fight if they were fighting for their own protection, fighting for their countries. I think we're just as good, but I don't think we're necessarily. Would you say that Canada's fighting military people wouldn't fight any harder? Of course they would. They'd fight just as hard. So here we are after 20 years. I mean, think about it, 20 years ago. Longest war we've ever had. All kinds of things have happened in 20 years to all of us since the time this war started till now. Our lives have changed. Both of my parents were alive when this war started. That's how long it's been. I want to get to Joe Biden. He's going to take a lot of guff, and I think deservedly so, because the buck really does stop with him. He's the one that ultimately has to make the decisions. When I had heard some time back from, I think it was at that time, the Secretary of Defense, Gates, who was a member of the Obama presidency, he said that Biden had never made a correct call when it came to foreign policy. And now I'm beginning to see that there's something with Biden and his abilities, at least on a military sense, that there just doesn't seem to be any IQ there, any intelligence. Biden appears to have broken his promise to stay in Afghanistan until every other American was evacuated. As we know, we left Afghanistan. We've got at least 100, maybe 200 people that are still there that are Americans, maybe more. They don't even know how many Americans are there.
Well, I don't understand why Biden's coming out and saying, we got everybody.
Yeah. He promised that when he went on that show with George Stephanopoulos, he said we would get everybody out. He basically promised that we would do it. That was just a foregone conclusion that we would do it. Well, we didn't do it. And here's the commander of the U.S. Central Command saying it. We did not get everybody out that we wanted to get out. Biden told Stephanopoulos August 18th, the U.S. military in Afghanistan, their objective, get everybody out, including Americans and Afghan allies and their families. He said, at the time, that's what we're doing now. That's the path we're on, and I think we'll get there. If there's American citizens left, we're going to stay to get them all out. He said that. That's a quote.
Which begs the question, if there were still people in there, why did we leave a half a day early?
Well, technically, did you know that Afghanistan...
I'm going by Afghan time. We were out early Afghan time.
Okay, we were.
Yeah,
but
a half a day early Afghan.
It was August 31st, yeah. I don't know. It was wrong. It was stupid. It was bass-ackwards, right?
Mm.
We were supposed to get everybody out. Then the military was going to leave. What's the point? It's like in a fire. The firemen get the people out of the building. Then they get out.
Mm.
They don't get out first to leave the people in the building. But we did that in this war. Now, we're going to be talking about it, well, not just today, of course. It's going to be an ongoing issue. It will be investigated. There are even Democrats that are coming out and washing their hands of Biden's performance, if you can call it that, in this situation.
Does that mean that Kamala is in the bullpen warming up?
I would like to drop Kamala into a bullpen where there was a real bull. That would be interesting to watch. Anyway, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Dan Eberhardt, he's CEO of Canary LLC Oil Services, can talk to him about the impact of Hurricane Ida on the oil industry.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works, thank you so very much for being with us. Well, besides the war in Afghanistan, we are coming off of, I think it's the fifth largest hurricane strike in our country, Hurricane Ida. It knocked out at least 94% of the offshore Gulf of Mexico oil and gas production. Think about that, 94%. We've got with us Dan Eberhardt. He is the chief executive officer of Canary LLC. And he is also the author of The Switch, American Global Energy Renaissance. Dan, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. So, this was a catastrophic hit in the Gulf off of the coast of Louisiana and Mississippi. But how badly is this this storm impacting both the oil markets and the industry itself, Dan, at least at this point?
Well, I look at it, there's two things. One is what happened to offshore production. And the second is what's happening with the refineries in the Gulf Coast. So with regard to the offshore production, there's about 500 platforms offshore. 288 of those were evacuated. And 95%, as you said, of the oil and gas production in the Gulf, which is about 1.7 million barrels a day, was taken offline. It's going to take weeks to get those platforms to be occupied again and to get all this production back online.
Wow. Is that going to affect in the short run? Is it going to further affect the price at the pump?
Yeah, so that actually, I think, is more driven by what's happening with the refineries. So there's six refineries in the southern Louisiana area that are offline right now. That's about 9% of the nation's capacity. There's another three refineries that are operating about half speed, half capacity, and that's another 3.5% of the nation's refinery capacity.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those numbers sound small, but I mean, the fact that we've got so much going on with oil in that area, and what about in the long run as far as the markets themselves? Will there be a long-term effect?
I think we're looking at about a 2 to 4 week effect on the price of gasoline at the pump being slightly elevated. Long term, I think we're looking at just a little bit of supply taken out. And again, the current supply is less than it was pre-pandemic levels. So it's going to make the supply a little bit tighter, which is going to be a bit of a floor for oil prices and keep them elevated, you know, as we move through the rest of the year.
Sure. Along with, I mean, this is a bad thing, but our oil policy under President Biden, our production policy, seems to have changed since he took office. The Keystone Pipeline was immediately stopped. And he doesn't seem, I don't know, it seems like a President Biden bends over backwards for the so-called environmentalists, even though the kinds of things that they're doing may not be so environmentally sound. I wanted to get your thought on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of it doesn't make sense for me. He called for OPEC to increase oil production 2 or 3 weeks ago, but didn't call in Texas or Louisiana or North Dakota increase production. So it seems backwards to me. He canceled the Keystone Pipeline, but allowed Russia's pipeline to Germany to go forward. You know, these policies to me are anti-consumer and drive up energy costs and are anti-American. The other thing that Biden has done is, disallowed all, you know, he's stopped new permits for offshore drilling and stopped fracking on federal lands. Both of these things are going to push up energy costs for consumers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, the thing also, when I'm thinking about the pipeline again, when you deliver oil down a pipeline, through a pipeline, I've always thought it's a safer, cleaner way of transporting it. Now, you stop these kinds of projects in our country, you still got to get oil delivered to all these places. So now it's got to come by rail or by truck, right? And that, to me, would not be not as safe.
Well, it makes less sense to me because the rail lines are 100% full. So when you add oil onto a train, you're pushing something else onto a truck that's going to be driving around to create more traffic. Also, it's less safe and it's more expensive. So to me, the pipeline is all metrics is a cheaper, more efficient, safer way to go. And you're not killing energy consumption by killing a pipeline. You're just driving costs up for consumers.
Mm-hmm. Do you think because of this hurricane and because of the devastation over there in the Gulf, do you think Biden and his people will maybe reconsider some of their pipeline policy, their oil policy? Or is it going to take some sort of a catastrophic oil shortage or something to get them to revisit this?
I think he's going to have to. Also, if you look at the Colonial Pipeline disaster when it was hacked, it shows how having more pipelines is better than having less. The less pipelines we have, the more we're held hostage to these cyber hackers, too. So, you know, look, the price of oil is up 40% plus since Biden took office. I think the more it goes up, the more he's going to have to consider policies that will drive the price down for consumers. You know, consumers may, in a Democratic primary, people may applaud for the Green New Deal, but I think if you look at the middle of America and you ask them if they want their energy costs to double, I think the answers are resounding no. And that's going to increasingly hit Biden in the face.
Yeah. We're talking with Dan Eberhardt. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Canary LLC. He's also the author of The Switch, American Global Energy Renaissance. Tell us a little bit about your book, Dan, American Global Energy Renaissance.
Sure. So I basically talk about how the invention of fracking and the invention of horizontal drilling stopped a 40-year decline in oil production and really helped change the balance of power between U.S. oil and gas and OPEC in the Middle East, and how I think that's a good thing for the American economy and American jobs. I also have another book out called The Petroleum-Powered Electric Car, where I discuss like some myths about the electric car industry and kind of try to balance between the internal combustion engine and the implementation of going electric and what that means for the economy.
Yeah. You know, people think somehow if we get involved with electric cars, we're not going to have to be drilling as much oil and this and that. But they don't seem to realize that that's not necessarily the case with electric power. I can't remember who it was, but somebody made an excellent case for keeping, you know, even if we do eventually slide over towards more electric cars or electric keeping, you know, the oil industry going strong.
Yeah, well, we all want to get to closer to carbon neutral, and we all want a greener future. But it's a matter of how we get there and what the cost is going to be. Remember, electric cars are powered by electricity, And the, you know, one of the main feedstocks for electricity is natural gas, which is part of the oil industry. The others are nuclear and coal. Nobody wants more nuclear. Nobody wants more coal. So growing electric cars is ultimately going to be on the back of growing natural gas production, which is part of the oil and gas industry. I also think that some of the disposal problems with the batteries in the electric cars need to be thought through better. And consumers need to have a better understanding of that. Also, when you do the mining for the cobalt for the battery for the electric car, that's extremely destructive for the environment. And it really takes owning an electric car for a number of years before it starts to become better for the environment if you include the mining of the cobalt in the environmental cost of having an electric car.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You would think that people that push these electric cars would understand that and would be a little more tolerant, you know, of the oil industry. But back to the hurricane and its effects. Now, you mentioned 6 refineries in the New Orleans area are shut down right now. There are 3 refineries in the Baton Rouge area. They remain open at reduced levels. Do you think because of this storm that the oil industry, refineries, et cetera, will come up with additional safeguards, or is it just, you know, they're protected as well as they can be right now, and they were, you know, they were prepared for something like this eventually because they're in the Gulf. You know what I mean? Are we going to be able to come up with even a better way of dealing with hurricanes like this?
I think the refineries are, you know, as prepared, and I think Katrina taught them a huge lesson. I think they're as prepared as they can be, but the power being off is still something that's beyond their control.
Yeah.
Additionally, you know, we have a problem in this country. We basically legislated new refineries from being built out of the market. It's uneconomic. People don't want to pay for the environmental impact studies. It takes too long, so they just don't build refineries. So we end up with a refinery complex that's, you know, where there's not a lot of spare capacity because nothing new is being built. And all this stuff is largely concentrated in the Gulf. About a third of our refining capacity is in the Gulf because in the past we wanted oil from Mexico, oil from Venezuela, and oil from Texas. Now, in 2021, we want oil from Texas, oil from North Dakota. We're less dependent on oil from Mexico, less dependent on oil from Venezuela, but the refinery complex and where it's geographically located hasn't moved to compensate for that, nor has it moved to compensate for changes in the population since 1950 or 60. The entire system is just antiquated.
Mm. And so the Biden administration, of course, doesn't want to see any extension of refineries. Would the Trump administration have been a little bit more, what's the word, open to the creation of more refineries? Do you think they could have, say, if Trump had won the re-election, that we might have increased our capacity?
The Trump administration was more about balancing jobs and the environment and having clearer rule standards for the EPA in terms of which infrastructure projects got greenlit and didn't. The Obama administration, now the Biden administration, is more opaque in terms of wanting to define for each specific project what it's going to take for the project to go ahead or not based on what they like the result to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, indeed, it was a hell of a storm that hit there. And so you feel that, like, within a month or so, we should be back and normal again, do you think?
I think we will. I think the damage to the offshore platform was ultimately minimal, and that's what's going to affect production. The refineries are still assessing damage, and I think that's going to take a while to kind of suss out. And we've got to get power back in New Orleans. That's really the most important
thing.
That's
true. Yeah, that's right. The whole city is without power right now. That's
just a tragedy for a lot of people.
Yeah, it certainly is. Dan, it was a real pleasure having you on. Thank you so very much. And again, his book, The Switch, American Global Energy Renaissance. And you say you've got another one coming out as well, right?
I have another book that you can get on Amazon called The Petroleum-Powered Electric Car. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you. All right. Dan Eberhardt, we're going to take our break. When we come back, We're going to be talking again about our exit from Afghanistan, and we'll have the proprietor of the barber pole join us, share his thoughts, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back, Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. And thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us anytime on podcast. Our shows are all put there by Ed. All you've got to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com, and you can listen to us any old time. Well, some of the things I think that we've most feared are starting to occur. Taliban militants were carrying out house-to-house executions in Kabul, apparently, after the U.S. departure. That, according to a senior U.S. source. So the tragedy, the aftermath, whatever you want to call it, is now started. The things that we fear the most. And we've got, what, between 100 and 200 Americans that are still there, along with all of these Afghanistans that were helping us during this war that want to get out. So we've got the proprietor of the barber pole with us, Andrew Ceresi. And Andrew, you know, we've always said on this show that there was a question of why we entered the war and went into Afghanistan the way that we did, rather than maybe commissioning a takeout group to go over there and just, let's say, you know, just knock off the people that planned 9/11. I wanted to get your thought on that.
Well, Paul, if you took out the people that planned 9/11, guess what? You got people in line behind them. And then you got people in line behind them, and people in line behind them. You need to take them all out, Paul.
Yeah. So how is
very
that?
Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go to war to play a game. You go to war to win.
Most of the people involved in the planning and were from Saudi Arabia. Now, it was true that Osama bin Laden holed up in Afghanistan, but he also was a Saudi. Did you think that our going into Afghanistan in 2001 by Bush was the right thing to do?
Well, that's a question that's hard to answer for me,
yeah,
to be honest with you, because to me, the whole Middle East needs to go, okay?
Okay.
I mean, here you got the president now taking Saudi Arabian oil, depending on him, begging him.
Right.
Okay? I mean, everything that's going on, Paul, is ridiculous. And, you know, you were saying they're going door to door now, the Taliban, shooting the people, right?
Executing them,
well,
apparently.
You know, I'll tell you what, I'd rather go like that than what I've seen last night, the videos. They have already learned how to fly the helicopters, and you know what they're doing?
What?
They are hanging the people from the helicopters and flying them over everybody.
That's terrible.
Okay?
Yeah.
I hope Joe Biden is really proud. But you know what, though? The American people are really going to get upset. You know why? He left the canine dogs there.
Oh, did he really?
The American people are going to be really upset about that. I don't care less about the people. When it comes to these dogs, you mark my words.
Yeah, you're right.
We're going to be PO'd, buddy.
You know, I've always said more tears are shed for the loss of a pet than a human.
But, Paul, what you see going on, again, follow the money. Joe Biden is compromised. Anybody who doesn't believe that is a fool. Okay, follow the money. It's like I told you yesterday. Afghan is loaded with lithium.
Yeah.
The Taliban has already gave China the rights to their minerals. Okay? China's putting billions into Iran. Bob, Paul, we are no longer the strongest country in the world.
We certainly aren't acting like it.
We are not, Paul. We are not the strongest. We can't act like it because we're not. You got a moron that's running the place. Mm-hmm. He made us weak as can be. He compromised us so China can take over. And you know what? He's going to line his pockets, his idiot son's pockets, and all the Democrats' pockets. And they don't care who dies or what happens to this country. It's America last with them. Mm-hmm. And I wish the American people woke up and say, well, I didn't really like Biden. I just voted against Trump. Okay?
Yeah.
You better wake up too, buddy, because you're next. Believe me.
Well, about 80% of the people think that the method of our leaving Afghanistan was atrocious, and including some Democrats now. There's one in particular. I've got to give her some credit. Susan Wild, she's a Democrat from Pennsylvania in Congress, and she's a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. She said the evacuation has been egregiously mishandled, and she wants a full investigation. She says,
what's there to investigate? You got a moron in the office. Yeah. You got two morons behind him, Paul.
Yeah, I mean,
let me
take
tell
office.
You something. The only way to save this country is that a citizen's going to join together and take over Washington, or we need a military coup against this administration if we can get rid of the woke generals. Mm-hmm. Those are the only answers, Paul.
Well, we're not going to get that.
No kidding, we're not going to get it. Well, we don't know about the citizens yet. Well, they're getting riled up.
I don't think we're going to get that either. I think we're going to have to wait until November of 2024. But in the meantime, we can get a lot of these nuts out of office in November 2022 and perhaps start turning things around.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think this country's got one more year left with this administration?
I don't know if Biden can last another year.
I said the administration, Paul. I didn't say Biden.
Yeah, I think so, unfortunately. Sure.
Because you know, what are you going to have after Biden doesn't get it?
I mean, what's the alternative? What are you going to do?
I just told you the alternative.
What?
American citizens need to join together and take them out of office.
They're not going to do that.
They have to physically.
But they're not going to do that. We can talk about it. They're not going to do that.
But because they have no scruples to join the American people, Paul. The American people are fat and lazy today.
A lot of them are.
They can care less. There's nothing but greed. And as long as they're okay in their little shell, they're fine.
Yeah.
Well, it's disgusting.
We've got pockets of everything in this country. We got 330 million people, so you can have a little bit of everything. But I don't think we're going to have a civil takeover or whatever you want to call it, you know, of this administration, unfortunately.
Maybe that's what I'm hoping for.
I don't blame you.
Maybe that's what I'm hoping for. This country needs a leader, Paul. Everybody that's running this country is nothing but a follower to the Chinese and the Arabs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we're going to get some new blood, that's for sure, because of what's going on right now.
Well, they're getting a lot of blood now on their hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Biden's planning on, I don't know why what he's going to say, but I think he's making an address sometime this afternoon. Yesterday, our Secretary of State, most people don't even know who he is, by the way, Tony Blinken.
He goes by Mr. No Lip.
Is that right? He pledged ongoing support to what he described as the small number of Americans still in Afghanistan. I don't think I'd hold my breath on Tony Blinken, but after he finished his talk, he refused to take any questions. He's kind of doing the Biden shuffle.
Well, maybe we should make him 201 over there and send his ass over there and see how good he thinks it is, huh?
Yeah, it's terrible. He says our commitment...
Disgusting.
Yeah. He says our commitment will continue, and he says the protection and welfare of Americans abroad remains the State Department's most vital and enduring mission. There's no way, those are empty words. There's no way you can say that when you pull your military out before all the civilians that you needed to get out of that country? How the hell are you going to get, if you're pulling all your military out, how the hell are you going to get the civilians out?
How are you going to get the dogs, Paul?
Or the dogs.
You got to get the dogs. You can't leave them dogs there.
No.
No, you know what I would do to those people right now, Paul? What did they put, 1,000 people at a time or 800 people at a time in those big transport planes?
Yeah.
You know what I would do?
I know what you would do. You would open the cargo door about 30,000 feet up with them in it.
No.
Okay.
What I would do is load them planes up with about 5,000 little piglets with parachutes.
Oh.
And I'd start dropping them all over those people. And you watch. They don't fear the death, but they fear the pig, believe me.
Oh, I see what you mean. That's what I would do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe that would have won the war if all of our military had a pet pig that was going along with them during the combat.
I'm telling you, that's what I would have done. I would have used psychology against them. What do they hate? The pig. They can't stand to be around a pig, right?
No, they don't like pork.
I'd load their country with them.
Wow. I'd never thought of that. That's a very interesting concept. So on another front, on the situation with the way things are going, schools are open again for the most part in the Tampa Bay area. I suspect most of Florida. I don't know what percentage of the kids are actually physically back in school. Hopefully it's close to 100%, but I'm not sure. And there's still the slings and arrows that our governor, Ron DeSantis, is taking. A lot of school districts are actually just saying, no, we're going to mandate the mask rather than allow the parents to make a decision.
If I was the parents, I'd leave my kids home.
You would?
That's right.
Okay.
You got to make a stand, Paul, one way or another.
So if you, let's say you had a 10-year-old boy or a girl at this point, and you were going to send them to school, and the school said, well, the kids are going to have to wear masks here. Would you honestly not put a little mask on your child and send him to school?
No.
You sure?
No, if I don't believe in it, no, Paul.
Okay.
When I believe in something, I follow it all the way.
All right. Mm-hmm.
You got to take a stand. As far as I'm concerned, again, they're breeding out a bunch of little sissies in this country today, and now they're turning into even bigger sissies. See, the people that are running this school board, they're nothing but a bunch of sissies. Look at these people. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know what they've done in life.
Yeah.
The only sport they probably played was tinkling sticks.
What?
That's right. It's a girl's sport.
Oh, is it?
Believe me. And they have no scruples. I would love to have a conversation with these people to see their background.
Yeah.
I'd like to see their backbone and their strength. They have none.
Did you see what Australia's decided to do? It's ending its COVID zero policy. They had been really in lockdown, you know, to stamp out any outbreaks, but they can't sustain it anymore. The Prime Minister of Australia, Scott Morrison, has determined the country's approach is not sustainable. They want to open things up. People are just champing at the bit.
Well, how come there is no COVID in Afghanistan?
I know. I don't know.
Come on, find your answers to that.
Ah.
I want to know why there is no COVID in Afghanistan, Paul.
How do you know there isn't?
Do you hear anything about it? We hear about it everywhere else in the world.
People are not worried.
The people don't have time to die of COVID.
That's
over there.
Correct.
That's quicker, probably.
That's what I was going to say. They're more worried about other ways of dying than the COVID virus.
That's ridiculous, Paul. Let me tell you, the Chinese started it. And the Chinese are getting away with everything.
Yeah.
Europe and the United States could have stopped China. But you know what? Europe has no cayunes either, Paul.
You know, they
came
out.
China is now the strongest, most powerful country in the world.
Well, they certainly are. I mean, if the current administration's approach to the way the world is running is any indication, you're absolutely right. It must be.
No, I think Afghanistan might be the second strongest. Look at their military they have now.
Yeah.
Thanks to Uncle Joe.
I just feel so bad for not just the Americans that are there. Of course, we feel bad for them. But the Afghans themselves that are going to go, that are going to fall back into this terror.
Why do the Afghans not fight?
I don't know. Some
I mean,
did.
If I was going to die under the rule, I can guarantee you one thing. I'd take 10 of them down before I'm going.
Some did.
Why do they not fight?
I know. Because
were they bred to be sissies like our kids coming up today?
Because it's a compilation of tribes in Afghanistan, and one tribe doesn't seem to like the other. So I think it was very hard to become unified.
Well, you know, Indians used to do, didn't they, don't you? There was a bunch of tribes of American Indians. And when there was one tribe that was causing all kinds of trouble, you know what they did? They got rid of the tribe, Paul.
Yeah. The other tribes got rid of that tribe, yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just hard for anything to get together. They're all going to turn on each other in Afghanistan, apparently. You know, with the Taliban and all these other...
Hey, listen, as far as I'm concerned, the whole Middle East could rot in hell.
Yeah.
Okay? They have done nothing but cause trouble in 5,000 years on this earth as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to see, I say Israel's going to take them all out. Because with all this going on, Iran's going to think they got all kinds of money and getting all kinds of military. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if a lot of this smart military equipment goes to Iran from Afghanistan.
You think so?
To be used against Israel. But I got news for them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to do that to Israel. Because Israel turned them into glass.
Yeah, Israel is not afraid to do what they need to do to protect themselves. That is for sure.
They've been surviving on Earth for billions of years that we know of, Paul, in all kinds of turmoil.
Yeah.
They walked they looked for the promised land for 40 years, walked all over the earth, and they end up in the middle of Arab nations.
I know. Okay. I would have, frankly,
with no oil.
I would have picked a nice farmy spot somewhere in maybe North America.
I don't know why we didn't do it. Put them there. Because they're the ones that are going to take care of them in the end, believe me.
Maybe so. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Andrew. And thank you so very much, my friend. We'll be talking again on Friday. Thank you.
You got it, buddy.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, you can't say that he's not opinionated, Ed. He certainly got his thoughts about the way things are going. I think a lot of people are disheartened and angry right now. Very disheartened. I don't know that we've had a lower point as a country. Maybe we did after the Vietnam War to some extent, after they shut down everything in 75. But I think that this one's even more humiliating. And I don't know if Biden can survive it overall. I don't know if he'll be able to survive it. Anyway, let's take our final break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 happiest states in America.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works, thank you so very much for being with us. You know, they still got some things going on here in this country politically. We've got Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. It's looking tough for him. Will his push to get the vote to save the will he be able to save his job? It says here Bernie Sanders is getting involved. He's taking aim at the effort to recall the governor of California. He calls it a bold-faced Republican power grab in a new TV commercial. I wonder if Bernie Sanders talking about those kinds of things to Californians right now is going to get Gavin Newsom a lot of help. He is the latest high-profile leader, however, to lend Newsom a helping hand from the left. So they're running that ad statewide in California, just 2 weeks to go until the recall election for Gavin Newsom, with the latest public opinion poll suggesting that those likely to cast ballots are divided on whether or not to recall. You've got to remember that when you do a recall, there's a lot of apathetic people that would normally probably say, we can keep the governor, but they don't go and vote. It's the ones that don't like the governor that are going to be most energized to go out to the polls. And they're going to have some mail-in ballots. State election officials began mailing ballots to California's 22 million registered voters about 2 weeks ago. We'll see where that goes. And Newsom, the governor, and his allies acknowledge they need a strong turnout from Democrats to counter the number of Republicans that are going to go to the polls. I think he's probably going to be recalled. The way things are going in this country, and it's even worse, and it's even worse with prices in California. So we'll see where all of that goes. But anyway, that's the way it goes. So Ed, before we get to our top 10, I don't know if there's anything new on the sports end of things. Are the Rays continuing to win? And are we looking forward to the beginning of the football season? Any thoughts?
They did take another win last night away from the Red Sox this time.
They did.
Yes, they did. 6-1, I believe, was the final.
They're on a roll.
Yeah, and they've got a four game set against them. They're now the Yankees are now 7 or 8 games back.
Wow.
Seven. And this will put the Red Sox at 10. Now you got to remember they're going to play the Sox for 4 straight games.
But if they're 10 back, it's not going to make too much difference.
If they sweep them, they could put a serious dent in them possibly making the playoffs as the second wild card.
I see what you're saying.
And it looks. I don't think the Yankees are going to catch the Rays. I think the Rays are going to win the East. And then you're looking at the Yankees being the number one wild card with probably Oakland or somebody else behind that.
Got it.
So,
what's the attendance been like? Do you have any gauge on?
Yeah, we were talking about this. Is it, last night with the Red Sox in town, I know the Red Sox are down, but they're still above 500. It was under 10,000 again on a Monday night. But Tyler Glasnow, who's on the shelf for a year and a half because of surgery, one of our starting pitchers, actually came out and said it a couple of weeks ago in one of the interviews. He said that some of the question was asked, what's this team missing as far as attendance? And he said promotion. You go to other ballparks, there's stuff going on.
Yeah.
You just go there, you have a seat, you wait for the game to start. There's just not a whole lot going on. And if the seats are empty, and if you and I wanted to go tonight, the cheapest ticket is $38.
Got it.
And you get a family of four, you're looking at between parking and eats at the stadium, you're looking at over $200.
That's true.
You can't do that.
No.
So I said,
in other words, they should have more incentives and lower prices.
I was saying something along the facts that if those tickets are not going to be sold, those $38 tickets, then after 7 o'clock, after first pitch, dump them down to $10.
Yeah.
At least they get sold.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And I've always thought about reducing the cost of a hot dog and a Coke and the beer, have nights where you reduce those costs as well.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing. A bobblehead day. Big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Big deal.
Okay. All right, my friend. It is time for our top 10. This comes from Wallet Hub, who decided to find out what are the happiest states to live in. So to determine which are the happiest, Wallet Hub looked at both internal and external factors in the form of different metrics in 3 categories: emotional and physical well-being, work environment, and community and environment. So those are the things they looked at, and they came up with these 10. Here we go, number 10. Connecticut. Now, I would not have thought Connecticut was a happy state. I talk with people from Connecticut from time to time. They're upset with the taxes there. but it ranks fifth for emotional and physical well-being and fifth lowest work hours in the U.S. Okay, number nine. Idaho, ninth happiest state, ranks second for work environment, second for community environment, and the sixth best adequate sleep rate. Adequate sleep rate. How do they know? Okay, number eight. Iowa. They're happy in Iowa. That must be the corn. Sixth for work environment, third lowest long-term unemployment rate in the country. Okay. Seven. Right nearby, North Dakota. North Dakota, seventh happiest, third for work environment, first for the lowest long-term unemployment rate. Very interesting. Number six. Now, this one surprised me. California. Seventh for emotional and physical well-being, fourth lowest adult depression, fifth fewest work hours. And, of course, weather puts a little bit more happiness there to get a lot of sunshine.
Until they get their tax bill.
God. Number five, Maryland. Wow. Maryland ranks fifth as the happiest state for emotional and physical well-being. All right. Number four. I wouldn't go to these states. I don't know what they're talking about. New Jersey. New Jersey is the fourth happiest state. I think somebody's paying them off.
Yep.
I would say these were some of the least happiest states.
They were intimidating.
Nonsense.
Yeah, when that poll comes out, you better vote yes.
You can say that again. Okay, number three. Minnesota, third happiest state. Fourth for emotional and physical well-being. Fourth for work environment. Third safest state in the country, and it has the third lowest divorce rate. Interesting. Number two, Utah. Now, that's the Mormons, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Second happiest in the U.S. First for work environment, first for community and environment. Hard workers enjoy their work more than residents of any other state. They also work the fewest hours. They also have the highest volunteer rate and the lowest divorce rate. Wow. That's very interesting. It's also the fourth safest state. All right, Ed. You want to take a guess?
Let's go with Nevada.
That's not a bad guess. But I think there's a lot of depressed people because they lose their money.
Okay. At the slot. Well, they could be a lot of happy people because they won.
But more lose than win, you know that. Anyway.
My backup was North Dakota, unless you said that.
We already said North Dakota. Okay. Actually, North Dakota came in seventh. It's Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Except for right now, you're not allowed into Hawaii.
No.
It's closed.
That's true. First overall, ranked second for emotional and physical well-being, second lowest share of adults depressed, fifth highest income growth rate, fourth lowest divorce rate. Residents enjoy, of course, many days of sunshine and healthy, active outdoor lifestyle. Additionally, the state has the longest average lifespan. Did you know that?
And lots of coconuts and pineapples.
And that keeps you going. All right. That's about it, my friends. Stay tuned for Joy on Paper, hosted by Patsy with a Z, right after the news. We'll be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.